The following recording was produced by the Queechy Church in Queechy, Vermont. For more information on the church, its activities, and resources, please visit us online at www.queechychurch.org.
When our Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, there was a witness, one that we heard in our last reading. There was a centurion at the foot of the cross who watched him die and made a confession. The first immediate consequence for those around was that a hostile witness bore testimony to what had happened. And the centurion, whose name we do not know, saw things that day that he had never seen before. In one sense, in principle, of course, no one had ever seen what had taken place. No one had ever seen anything like it before. But even so, he saw that day a king crucified on a cross. Kings were not crucified. When kings were put to death, it was not through this particular method. Crucifixion was designed by the Romans to prolong agony as long as possible, to make an example for those they regarded as the very worst of the worst and the dregs of humanity, to intimidate and terrify any who would oppose their power. And it was reserved for the worst of the worst. A Roman citizen was not to be crucified. People in the noble class were not to be crucified. And so it is extremely unlikely he had ever seen such a breach of protocol as to see the ruler of any people put to death by crucifixion. Over the cross where Jesus was nailed had been placed the notice, "This is the King of the Jews," in three languages. Pilate was challenged about this. Say, no, put on the notice that he said that. And Pilate said, I have written what I have written. It stands. The centurion saw this man crucified while he was at the same time proclaimed as a king by Pilate, in fact. He also saw that king's countrymen mock his kingship and mock his role as a savior. Aha! You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross. They taunted him. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we may see and believe. These were taunts. They weren't challenges in good faith. They weren't proposals made in good faith. They were taunts to the one who was indeed the King of the Jews. And the centurion who observed this would have seen, this is either a pretend king or a failed king. Either they rightly mock him or they don't. And yet he has failed to maintain his reign and now has been crucified. The centurion saw what he had never seen before, a king who was crucified. He also saw that in the manner of this crucifixion, he saw a man die in a way he had never seen before. The scriptures say that when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. In the very middle of the day, from noon to 3 o'clock, there was darkness. This was no ordinary celestial event. We anticipate an eclipse in our near future. An eclipse would have been impossible at this time. Passover occurred during the full moon, and a solar eclipse can only occur during a new moon. So that was impossible. But even if it had been something of that sort, an eclipse like this would last minutes, not hours. What the centurion saw was heaven's response to the suffering of this crucified king as darkness covered the land. This he had never seen. He had never seen the heavens answer Roman justice. And he'd never seen a man cry out and die in this way. At the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" As he recited from the cross, Psalm 22, which begins with this expression of abandonment by God and ends with confidence in God's deliverance. The people there thought he was calling Elijah and they taunted him again. Even in the act of bringing wine for him to drink, it's likely they were only taunting him all the more, because what do they say? Let's see if Elijah responds. Give him something to drink so he can continue to cry out. But when he cried out again, he breathed his last, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. And now the centurion saw something else. He saw a man who was crucified willingly. This had never happened. No one would endure such a thing willingly. No man would endure an execution that was meant to last for hours and days. But when he saw Jesus on the cross, he saw Jesus choose his death. He saw Jesus choose this death. Though he was a crucified king, he was a willing crucified king. Because what he saw was that the cross did not kill Jesus. Not without Jesus' own will. The expectation was that the men would suffer longer. And because the Sabbath was coming, they would break the legs of the men so that they could not breathe and they would die quickly. But Jesus was already dead, and the centurion saw the manner of his passing. When the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." Where did this confession come from? He saw a crucified king whom heaven wept for and who died at his own will. And so came to the conclusion. Only the Son of God could do something like this. It seems that heaven had sanctioned this even while grieving over this. Jesus claimed to be a king and he chose this death. And he gave up his life after suffering on the cross, not because the cross could kill him, but because he chose to submit to death. As Jesus had said elsewhere, "I lay my life down, no one can take it from me. And I take it up again." The centurion saw a man who had chosen to die on a cross. He saw heaven grieve over the suffering and death of this man, and he concluded that the Son of God had been put to death. While certainly his understanding was incomplete, he saw enough to come to this conclusion. He saw the worst event in all of history, by any moral measure. An innocent man and the holy God put to death unjustly, but willingly, because he took our sins upon himself and he swallowed up sin and death with his life, not because we asked and not because he was compelled. Roman power did not compel this, but because he chose to, and he did it for us. And John tells us that in that final cry, were words that can give us peace when we reflect on these events. Not only because we know that he rose again on Sunday, but because even before he rose again, he said, "It is finished." And so there is peace for God's people. That there is no striving for God's favor, but God has poured out all of his wrath on Christ, and it's finished. Pray with me. Our Lord God, we sorrow at the death of Jesus Christ, who did not deserve it, and whose life could not be taken from him, but he willingly laid it down for his friends, for us, his enemies. And we rejoice that that work of atonement, of forgiveness of sin, is complete. It is finished. Hallelujah. Amen.